I'm meteorologist Reynolds Wolf of the Weather Channel and lifelong Auburn Tiger fan, and the forecast calls for almost credible sports discussion with the AU Wishbone on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary.
Touchdown, Auburn!
Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we experienced another excruciating near miss on Saturday.
This was in a season of excruciating
near misses, yeah.
Yeah.
We've really only been clobbered one time.
That's right.
And so that gives me hope. But, yeah, it's getting to be the same song over. This was a team we could have beaten. This was a game we could have won. And it just didn't happen. Your thoughts, preliminary, before we get into detail.
No, I mean, you could sense it during the game. It was a game that Auburn could win. I mean,
we led.
Right, but I mean, and not just that, but the two teams, they weren't that far apart in terms of, you know, when they were playing on the field. But, you know, same way in the Mississippi State game and the Arkansas game, this team found ways, didn't execute well on the right at the key moments in the game. And the other part is, I think, you know, we see other teams that, you know, have, in this case, I think they have a little more talent and a little bit, you know, just execute better when the game's on the line than Auburn does right now. So, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this game because,
yeah,
you know, players we saw play and things that happened, but it was frustrating, a lot like the Arkansas game, in that, you know, it's a game you feel like Auburn could win, and for a lot of the game played well enough to win, but then didn't. So,
you know, I every time that people ask, and I've got a lot to say at some point here about the Auburn fans out there just getting a little carried away and need to settle down a little bit, I think, but every time somebody says something to the effect of, how could this team not win as many more games than it has? How can it be as bad as it is or as limited as it is? You know, I just think there's several key players that we fully expected to contribute, and that in past years, those type of players have contributed. And I just keep thinking, think about the 2010 team and imagine that Cam Newton did not work out the way we thought he would. And imagine that Nick Fairley got injured in the first game of 2010. And imagine that Mike Dyer had gotten injured, and we'd had to, if we'd had to play the whole season with who was our backup in 2010? Barrett Trotter?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, imagine we played all of 2010 with Barrett Trotter at quarterback, Mario Fannin, the only running back, and McCaleb too. But let's say you don't have McCaleb at all. You're basing everything entirely on Mike Dyer and Mario Fannin, and all you've got is Mario Fannin, and you've got no Nick Fairley on defense with the secondary that team had. I would argue that this year's team has a better secondary than the 2010 team had. What would the record of the 2010 Auburn Tigers have been? We would not have written a book.
No, well, because the SEC was really, really good that year too. That's the other part. I mean, that's the,
yes,
you know, we'd have been 5-6 at best.
So I mean, we rolled seven. You know what I'm saying? We rolled the dice every step of the way in 2010 and pretty much came up aces every time. And this year it's been pretty much the opposite. These things happen, right? Sometimes you roll seven and sometimes you crap out.
But it's also – the other part is the line in the SEC West is very small between, you know, the teams that – between like second place and, you know, seventh place. It's very fine. And I think we're seeing that this year. I don't think there's a lot of separation between everybody in the SEC West. I really don't. But the difference is, you know, having experienced, talented players who have been in a system for a while and can execute when the game is on the line and make plays. And, you know, so far Auburn hasn't been able to do that. But, and you're right, there's been guys been missing that we, you know, we'll get jumping. We can go ahead and start jumping into that. I mean, if Carl Lawson and Javon Robinson had played in the Arkansas game or the Mississippi State game, the level they played in this game, we'd have won those games. So that, you know, but there is a very fine line in the SEC West between winning and losing, and Auburn is, you know, on the wrong side of that line right now. But you're right in the sense that, you know, Auburn fans need to, and other people need to calm down with some of this, you know, people going off the rails about Gus and everybody else. So.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it came to a point Saturday night, probably early Sunday morning, actually, or there somewhere thereabouts, where I actually said, look, you know, they were jumping on the coaches. There's, you know, there's always people out there on Twitter and your email groups, you know, wherever, no matter what, there's always a thin layer of people who can't wait for the opportunity to criticize somebody like Gus and act like they knew what everybody else was wrong about. And that just really gets under my skin. I just can't stand the guy, you know, that's like, I told y'all Gus wasn't nothing but a crappy high school coach. I told y'all this would happen. They better fire him yesterday.
Look, I sat next to those people, okay, at the 2011 Iron Bowl, okay? And, you know, those people, you know, I thought about those people every single game in 2013 and where they could go.
That's right.
So the reality is, the reality is we turn over coaches too freaking much, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's right. You know,
we need some stability on both sides of the ball at every position for a while. You know, to when you're constantly changing people in and out, it makes it so much worse, and that leads to the teams not performing well. So
yeah,
that everybody needs to just take a deep breath on that kind of stuff. And
well, my response simply was, look, if we cannot win at football with the coaching staff we have now, we just need to give up football.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
Because we're not going to get a more innovative, talented staff of recruiters and coaches. Now, we've got some issues, and they sure need to be addressed, but that seems to happen. I mean, how many times did we say that about Tuberville's regime? How many times did we say that about Chizik's regime, right? How many times do Alabama fans say that about Saban half the time? You know, they're all over him over things like the play calling that their offensive coordinator's doing and stuff. So every team, no matter how good they're doing, there's always going to be people that are going to criticize and crap on something. And
well, that's, here's a good example we could leap right to is all you heard for years was Georgia fans crap on Mike Bobo and how terrible he was and how he needed to run the ball more.
Right.
But he was really, really good at his job, and they would kill to have him back tomorrow.
Oh, Georgia, Georgia.
All those Georgia fans that criticize Bobo for not running the ball enough, they would crawl through broken glass to have him back.
I tell you what, if you're feeling sorry for yourself right now, Auburn fan, if you're feeling down on your luck and downtrodden and sorry for yourself, look at the rest of the league, okay? Look at Missouri. Look at Georgia. Look at South Carolina, okay? Look at even Vanderbilt. Florida's just starting to get back off the mat. Look at Arkansas. I mean, yeah, I know they beat us, but that was it took four overtimes. I mean, you know, even Bama's got a loss to Ole Miss, a team they hadn't lost to at home since 88. I mean, you know, and Texas A&M is on the 2012 Express. So you just need to take a breath. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are far from the only team in the SEC experiencing some growing pains and issues right now. We are far from. There is no single dominant, stable program. I mean, I know LSU is undefeated, but honestly, LSU hasn't played much yet, have they?
No, we'll see how they turn out.
Yeah, so. We'll talk about that. So, okay, so let's get into the game a little bit. First, you gotta talk about Carl Lawson, right?
He made a just by showing up and playing and dressing out in the field, I think he made a gigantic impact in the game. And he wasn't, you know, 100% in terms of – I think he was rusty.
He was no game shape, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think his tackling was – you know, even though he'd been practicing, they don't do – you don't get a ton of contact and tackling and stuff in the middle of the season. And so I think – you know, he was a little rusty on that stuff and the speed of the game and stuff. But I think it, I mean, he made a gigantic difference. And once he got, you know, started to get it going, you could see he had, you know, the Ole Miss offensive line really, really messed up. And you could see what a weapon he is. I mean, he freed up other players to make plays. He occupied double teams. I mean, Ole Miss's offensive tackle Tunsil is going to be a high first round pick. And he made him look bad for part of that game. So, the other part was you got to give credit to the crowd, you know, for an 11 a.m. Central kickoff. Mm-hmm. That was a really great Auburn crowd, especially in the first half. And when Lawson was playing well and the crowd was going crazy, the Ole Miss offense could not do anything in terms of changing the play and stuff because it was so loud in there. And I thought that was amazing for an 11 a.m. Central kickoff. I mean, the crowd and Lawson together were a gigantic factor in the first half of the game.
Well, you know, think about this. Two things about Lawson particularly. One is, I wonder what our record would be right now if he had been able to play all season. 5-2 at worst?
Yes.
And it was funny. Somebody tweeted right before the game, you know, it's unwise or imprudent of Gus and the coaches to put Lawson out there when he hasn't played in so long. This is bad. This is terrible. And then about 5 minutes into the game, they're like, yeah, never mind.
No, I mean, not.
They're like, never mind. Don't worry. Forget it. Forget I said anything.
I mean, he's a great player, and he's our, you know, stud defensive guy that we got to have, and he's the one that makes the pass rush go. And, you know, when you, especially when you play teams like Ole Miss that are 95% passing, you got to have him. And he made his presence felt, so.
Yeah, again, imagine 2010 without Fairley. It just wouldn't, so, I mean, you know.
I mean, he clearly, like, he put him in the Mississippi State game when Dak Prescott was throwing the ball 40 times against us. He'd have made a huge difference in that game. So
sure.
But it was great to have him back, and I think, you know, going forward, he's going to make a big difference against the teams we play. I mean, we'll talk about A&M in a little while, but that's another passing team we're getting ready to go against, and he'll make a big difference against them. But I thought his presence, you know, wasn't just the pass rush and what he did to the, you know, freeing up other people. I thought it really lifted up the whole defense and gave them all a kind of a burst of energy and enthusiasm and really helped confidence, basically.
Yep.
Where were they, you know, where they could have been kind of down after the, you know, what happened last week. So
the other player that kind of emerged out of nowhere, and I was looking to see if a helicopter, you know, had come flying in and dropped us off a new running back. They maybe borrowed Javon Robinson's jersey to give this new running back his own, you know, to give him a jersey. That was Javon Robinson. He's still on the team, John. He's still playing Auburn football.
I guess Peyton Barber was banged up, and that's why we played him?
Yeah, that was my understanding.
If Peyton Barber had been healthy, we wouldn't have played him? I mean, because he played great, and he was a gigantic difference. You could see the difference he makes in the running game, the burst and the extra yards that he picked up that the running back was getting.
That is what I was talking about last week. Remember my whole rant last week about the running game? That is what I meant. If we had Peyton Barber and Rock Thomas, and we had that Javon Robinson out there tearing, you know, 10 yards a carry, 19 yards a carry, 8 yards a carry. That's what I meant when I was saying that if the running game was better. Because see, we got Robinson out there, but we didn't have much of Rock, and we didn't have hardly any Peyton Barber. So we're still, you know, just having one bullet in our gun.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, even so, you could see with what Robinson was doing, what I was trying to talk about last week, which is that keeps your defense off the field. So it doesn't matter if they're not playing that great because they're not on the field, right? You're up the clock. You're scoring points. You're making first downs.
And you know, enabled Sean White to do more play action kind of stuff, because when he was in the game and the threat of handing him the ball off made the defense respect it.
Right. I don't understand. I guess he had an appointment at the optometrist or something in the fourth quarter.
Well, only when we're near the red zone.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. I
don't understand it.
The red zone play calling in this game from Auburn, you know, we got close 3 times and got no touchdowns. And when we do that, it's the same as Mississippi State game. We're not going to win. And
you understand this happened to us last year too, right? This is not new.
No, I know.
Remember the Mississippi State game last year? Remember the Alabama game last year?
It's true. I mean, and I think that in both those cases, we threw the ball too much. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you got Javon Robinson. He was starting to feel it in that game. We needed to be lining up and feeding him the ball. And, you know, there were times in the game when we tried to, you know, run the ball and basically telegraph we're going to run the ball and bring an extra offensive lineman and stuff, and Ole Miss stuffed us because they have a bunch of great players in the defense. But down at the goal line, you know, running the ball with Javon Robinson or – play action off of running the ball with Javon Robinson is the way to go. Not any of the side to side stuff.
Well, look, this is a point that I thought was really big, was that this game to me felt like the first or second game of a typical Gus season, where he is A, still trying to throw the ball even when we know the running game is the better option, and B, hasn't really decided on how he's going to do those things. I mean,
well,
this felt like the Washington State game from 2013 or something.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with because Sean White was banged up. And so he, you know, Gus was doing the kind of makeshift quarterback rotation thing where he, you know, he played some Sean White, he played some Jeremy, he played some Kerryon Johnson in the Wildcat, and you know, so he was literally kind of duct taping it together. We've seen Gus go through this stuff where he tries to kind of manufacture offense in those ways, and it's not a good place to be. No. We need to be more in where we were in those drives where we were handed it to Robinson and feeding off that. But
what did you think? What did you think about Steve Spurrier 2.0 out there swapping quarterbacks? Was it like the first or second drive of the game?
Yes.
We had 3 different quarterbacks on 4 plays.
You know what? I got to be honest. I didn't love it. Yeah. I get it that Sean's banged up and that Sean can't run. It's one of those things that, like, you got to live with it that he can't run and adjust the game plan for that, where the defense just isn't going to respect it at all. And he can make him pay throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Didn't
you think that also gave away every play? Like they knew exactly
100%.
What we were going to do.
I mean, it's you know, it's like we used to do the thing when we brought in Kyle Frazier and stuff. It really did telegraph what we're going to do. And not on top of that, like with Kerryon's in, you know, Ole Miss had 11 guys in the box. Basically, they were 11 guys at the line of scrimmage. So like, he's not going to throw it. There's a 0% chance he's going to throw it, and we got a bunch of great guys up here at the line of scrimmage, and we're going to play the run. And so that the Wildcat isn't going to work against them, you know, in that kind of scenario. And Jeremy Johnson, you know, I'm happy for him that he got to score a touchdown last week and stuff, and in a 4th-and-1 kind of situation. I'm fine with Jeremy Johnson carrying the ball, but let me tell you what I'm not fine with. I'm not fine with Jeremy Johnson throwing the ball. I'm not fine with him throwing the ball into double coverage again. And I'm not fine with us running out the clock and handing the ball to Jeremy Johnson to run up the middle. That was the stupidest freaking call that Gus has made in a long time, where he had the almost fumble at the end of the first half. Either throw the ball 50 yards down the field and try and kick a field goal, or kneel on it. One or the other. Yeah. Anything else is a recipe to screw up and give Ole Miss the ball. There are only two choices there. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't do any of this halfway. Well, we're going to run Jeremy up the middle and maybe he'll break a 70-yard run. He's not. It's a freaking Ole Miss defense. You know,
that was the sense I got, was they were trying to do the LSU play again.
But they were. It was, oh, come on. It was stupid. They had guys 20 yards back. Jeremy's going to outrun all those guys and dodge 50 people, you know, on the way to the end zone. That was ridiculous. The Ole Miss play worked because everybody was up at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, that was just stupid. And you either got to do one or the other. And they didn't want to take a chance throwing it, so they should have just knelt. And it could have cost, you know, that is the kind of play that could have stupidity that could have cost in the game. And then, you know, we had the red zone play calling, which was bizarre. And then we had the play where we went for it on 4th and 2 and Sean White threw a pass over Marcus Davis's head.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, again, it's 4th and 2. So I get it. It's, you know, it's tough to run the ball.
That was like the 50 yard line too, wasn't it?
It was. But and that's one of those ones where you really, you know, if Sean White's healthy, you really wish you could run the read option thing, you right. know, because he could get 2 yards if everybody went after the running back.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, that was a really a low percentage pass. And I think on 4th and 2, you can't be pulling out something like that. You got to have a sure play, you know, a pass play, or you got to run it. But so that was – I didn't think that was a winning call. So I
– Put it this way. An Alabama fan tweeted me this morning and said about Sean, said he's a tough kid, but I'm afraid y'all are going to get him killed.
Well, I mean, he's not a big guy.
No.
And he's taken a beating the last 2 weeks. I mean, Sean White has, you know, has played great. He's got guts. He's got great touch with the ball. But he has absolutely gotten annihilated the last 2 weeks. And guess what? He gets Myles Garrett this week. So, you know, who abused our offensive line last week, used him as a pinata. So, I'm afraid there's more to come on that front for Sean White. But he's the best chance we have to win games, so we need to play him. And he, you know, I think he's fine with that. He's a competitor. He's a tough kid. He wants to play. But, you know, yeah, I think that's the other reason. Like, they're not going to run him much the rest of the year because they're scared he's going to get killed. He took some brutal shots in that game.
You know, there's another couple of numbers that are really interesting to look at. While Javon Robinson had 18 carries for 91 yards, that's a 5.1 average. I said if Javon Robinson got 25 to 30 carries in that game, I think we would have won. But also, Kerryon Johnson, who's been like one of the spark plugs in the offense the last three or four weeks. Did you see how many yards Kerryon got?
He had 11.
Well, he had, well, the I'm looking at ESPN. It says he had 5 carries for 7 yards.
Right.
And his long was 6. So he had 1 carry for 6 yards and 4 carries for 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
Average 1.4. I mean, were they keying on him, or was he hurt, or what was going on with that?
No, I mean, it gets like I was saying, like the Wildcat doesn't work against a team like Ole Miss. They have too much talent on defense, and they don't respect the chance he's going to throw the ball. So the safeties, you know, and everybody came right up to the line of scrimmage, and they expected him to keep it. And they were, you know, basically there was only two choices. He's going to keep it and run, or he's going to hand it to the, you know, the option, the wide receiver coming across on the sweep. And the Ole Miss defense was all staying right there. They're not, you know, you need some threat that you're going to throw to. We have to basically call a pass play with Kerryon Johnson, or it's not going to be successful against good defenses. You know, against A&M, it'll work some. You know, against Georgia, it'll work some, but it's not going to work against Alabama unless he's thrown a pass or throws a pass in that game. I mean, it's not, he's going to get 0 yards against Alabama running that formation. I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I don't know what you do, because I don't know if he can even throw the ball. I mean, it's kind of funny to me that when he came to Auburn, the question was, would he play safety or would he play running back? Well, guess what? He's playing quarterback. That was like option C. Nobody knew there was an option C, right? There is an option C. We did spread it around a little bit. Nobody had more than 4 catches. Ricardo Lewis had 4 catches for 137 yards, 34.3 average and a touchdown. That's pretty good.
And he really made up for the end of the Arkansas game. I know he was very upset about that, and I was happy for him.
And he got Sean's first touchdown pass there, 47 mm-hmm. yards. And Tony Stevens had 2 for 55. Melvin Ray had 1 for 44. Melvin Ray had a crucial drop that would have been a touchdown, I believe.
Late in the game, that was bad.
Rock Thomas had 3 for 37, I guess, on pretty much little screen passes, pretty much. That's his thing.
Yep.
He is Mario Fannin. Marcus Davis, 2 for 20. And Chandler Cox, 1 for 9. What do you make of Chandler Cox so far this season, his progression?
Hey, I mean, he's solid. He's a true freshman. He dropped a pass in the Arkansas game, but he caught one in this game, and he's doing okay as a blocker. I think Pettway's been better the last couple weeks as a blocker than Chandler Cox has, run blocking, I think. But he's solid. I mean, he's a solid, productive player. He's not great. You know, he's not Jay Prosh 2.0 or anything, but he's a solid, versatile kind of player that can block some and catch an occasional pass to get a first down for us. So
I was trying to think of the years that Ole Miss – it's funny. Ole Miss is the team that, even in our bad years, they come into Auburn and they give us, like, the one win that we really need. You know, like the 2011 team beat them. The 2009 team beat them. The last time I remember us losing at home to them before this year was 2003, the awful, you know
– the drop game.
The Obamanu drop game. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Obamanu. the 99 game was just agony. That was Tuberville's first year, and he had just come from Ole Miss. Remember that?
Yes. They were so fired up for that game.
Yeah, and that's the one where we missed a field goal. I think it was Damon Duvall missed a field goal at the end that would have put into overtime, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or either that or it went to overtime and then we missed. But one way or another, we missed a field goal at the end that would have either kept it going or won it for us. And I remember the thing I remember is I was leaving the stadium as I was getting up and leaving my section. Somebody'd left their had somebody's Auburn stadium seat was sitting there down from us a little bit, and some old Miss woman had written "Hottie Toddy" in lipstick on the all across the seat. So yeah, they even when the old ladies are writing propaganda with their lipstick and running up on you, that's when you know the fan base was fired up. But yeah, it's been a while other than those two, so we don't lose to Ole Miss a lot, certainly not in Auburn.
Yeah, the only thing I want to say about the Ole Miss game is I think if you line everybody up on both teams from like 1 to 85, from most talented to least talented, and then compare the two rosters, but I really think like Ole Miss has like 6 or 7 out of the best 10 players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
On the current rosters. I think a lot of those guys are going to be gone next year and it'll be different, but I really think, they had a lot of guys that were, you know, more of all SEC, all American kind of players than Auburn does right now.
Well,
that's the difference.
So. That's the thing is that their top players are older and our top players are almost entirely younger. I've said it before. We have a team where almost all the main contributors are either freshmen or at least first year players.
Well, whether they are younger or older, their guys are better about that.
Well, but I'm saying they're better because they're older and bigger and stronger and more experienced, and they're going to be leaving. And our guys hopefully are going to come back. I mean, some of them may be gone, but I mean, for the most part, they'll be back and better next year. So I'm not trying to look ahead to next year already, although honestly, this is the point last year where we should have started looking ahead to the next year. Because remember, as bad as this much of the season's been so far, remember, we are today. A year ago today is the day that we beat Ole Miss. And then
the bottom dropped out.
And then the bottom dropped out. That's right. So it didn't get any better after today last season.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Well, we got a shot Saturday. We'll talk about that. Well, let's you ready to answer some listener questions?
Let's do that.
Let's see if Mira has anything to say.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right. What we got?
All right. First question comes from our man, Reynolds Wolf.
Woo, Reynolds.
All right.
I'm going to make a new sound effect just for Reynolds' question because I always enjoy his question.
All right. Here's his questions. Is Gus guilty of mostly poor play calling or lack of talented players to carry out his strategy?
Mm.
So many of his calls seem to be perplexing, but if successful, so many naysayers today would be touting his brilliance.
That's true. That's true.
And the second part is Tuberville had a wonderful knack of recruiting 2- and 3-star kids and developing them into incredibly solid players. Mm-hmm. It seems with Gus and in some instances Chizik, we have the polar opposite, mm-hmm. greater talent, less development.
All right. Those are really good questions, as we have come to expect from our weatherman extraordinaire and Auburn fan and friend of the show, Reynolds Wolf. First off, he's asking, is it that Gus has forgotten how to call plays, or is it that he's still a genius, but they're not executing? And hey, I was going to say, did you see Gus's expression when the receivers didn't block right on that one play?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I have never seen him lose his mind like that.
He was not happy.
No.
Well, and I think that's sometimes, you know, it's like the drops last week. Sometimes he calls the right play that he knows would work, mm-hmm. and the players don't execute it. And against good defenses, you know, you have to have talent and you have to have good offensive game planning and good play calling, and then you got to execute it when they go out there in the field. And so I think some of it is the – I'm going to be honest. Some of it is the talent thing, okay?
We keep signing these great classes, and then I don't know what's happened to them.
Well, I mean, at the – why, let's put it this way. If take every Auburn team for the last, you know, 8 years or whatever, other than 2012, this group would be at the bottom in terms of just running back, wide receiver, quarterback.
Mm.
Right?
2011 was iffy.
Mm.
I mean, Dyer, but then, and McCaleb, but then, you know, Barrett Trotter. But I think Sean White over Barrett Trotter. No offense.
Still had some good receivers.
We did. Yeah.
That's closer, but I you know, that's still might go the other way there. So, but even though I like Sean White a lot, and I think we can win with Sean White. But so part of it is talent. The offensive line is good, but you know it's not great. And I don't know if you saw the stat over the weekend, but Auburn now has 14 rookies playing in the NFL, the most of any team, any college.
Well, we had the fewest players coming back, didn't we, this year? So that would.
Yes, but no, but that, but some people, but it speaks to both the amount of people we lost and the quality of those players.
Yeah, that's true.
That 14 of the guys that were on Auburn's team for, you know, the past 2 years are playing in the NFL right now. And so I think that, you know, the losses were bigger than we wanted to admit.
That's it. That's it right there.
And that, you know, that was part of the problem. So I think some of it is a talent thing. I, you know, like a lot of coaches, I think, and a lot of people, I think Gus has good days and bad days. And I think, you know, Saturday was not a great day for them. I think the offensive game plan, especially in the red zone and at the play calling, wasn't very good.
Right.
And I think, but I think what it comes down to is they had basically a hobbled quarterback. They couldn't call any read option with him. You don't trust, nobody trusts Jeremy to put him in the game at quarterback. You know, the Wildcat wasn't going to work. So the only option was play Sean White and with no threat of him running at all.
Yeah.
Zero. That's but you it. Saw he ran on that one play and tore his brace up and, you know, was out of the game for a couple of minutes and
yeah.
almost killed us. So
he banged the undercarriage around a little bit and had to go into the pits.
So, you know, some of it is that. Some of it is, you know, defenses are catching up to some of the stuff that Gus does. But some of it is, you know, this team isn't doing a great job of executing week to week about the things that are out there.
Can I go here? You tell me if I can go here. Can we say that maybe Gus, at least in the SEC level, as opposed to Arkansas State or whatever, is he a better just offensive coordinator where he can devote all of his attention to that rather than being distracted by all the other stuff?
I'm not ready to go there
yet. Not ready to go there yet? That's fair. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just curious if we won't even start entertaining that yet.
Well, I mean, to me, the let me say this. I mean, the lack of explosiveness on this offense, okay, and I pointed this out a couple of times about the plays over 20 yards and stuff, mm-hmm. is dramatic and incredibly frightening. And that, to me, number one, is talent, okay? There, Ricardo Lewis is fine, okay? Ricardo Lewis would be the fifth wide receiver on Ole Miss.
Wow.
He would not start for them, okay? Wow. He would come in as, like, you know, when the other guys were tired. So he's the best guy we got. And we, you know, we don't have any running backs who are making huge running, you know, plays. Right. And you saw what a difference it was with Robinson in the game because he was picking up big chunks of yards. So I think the lack of big plays in the offense, the lack of big explosive plays is a talent thing as much as a scheme thing. And I think that's a lot of the problem right now. We say we keep having these recruiting classes, but some of these guys got to step up and make plays. So in terms of his other thing, the other part of that is we're not developing talent as well as we should, I think, at times. And to point to your youth thing, I think a key place where it's really handicapping Gus is, you know, the fullback, H-back, tight end group, one of them was in a car wreck, one of the tight ends, a couple while ago, and he's not playing Jalen Harris. They thought he'd play a good bit. And, you know, the two, Petway and Cox, are fine, but they're not scaring anybody, and they're not blowing holes open on a regular basis, especially against, you know, really top SEC defensive linemen. You saw that one play where one of them had to block the defensive end, and he got Sean White killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know, a group where clearly there's some talent and we're going to get better, but those guys aren't weapons in the offense and they're not, making a huge difference in terms of moving the needle in the running game either. So
I'm thinking that right now, possibly the most effective quarterback standing on the Auburn sideline, other than Damian Craig, is Ryan Applin. But I don't think he has any eligibility left either. So I'm definitely sure that DC doesn't, but I don't think Ryan does either. So
I need to ask you an important question, but
mm-hmm.
I think we answered most of Reynolds' question. But I need to ask you a serious question.
As much as we're able to, if we had more answers than that, we'd be on the staff. Because I mean, honestly, those are good questions, but I don't think we really have honest. You know, what can you say?
All right. What is your feeling when you see Jeremy Johnson come out under center, like in the offense and take the snap?
I'm like, oh, I hope this is the moment he gets it together. That's what I've thought every single time. I hope this is the moment that we see the butterfly come out of the cocoon and he gets it together and scores a touchdown, you know, throwing an 80-yard pass or whatever.
I mean, he had that one great moment with the flea flicker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Brandon Marcello tweeted during the game, like, the crowd, like, everybody kind of tensed up when he goes in the game and gets the ball.
Right.
And I don't trust him right now.
I don't have that feeling. I understand it, but I thought for every bad play he made his first stretch, he made a couple of good plays. The play that that we beat Jacksonville State with,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if, you know, I don't know if Sean would have thrown that.
Sure. All right. I just wanted to get your feeling about
that. Yeah. Well, I think it's different from a lot of people, but that's how I feel.
All right, we got some more questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, our next question is from Joshua, which is AU fan 1983. Does Gus pick plays using a magic eight ball?
I would send the magic eight ball back for repair. I don't know. I mean, I think it really just comes down to he's having to cobble an offense together in bits and pieces. And honestly, on the sideline there, when he's making all the calls and making all the decisions, you know, he doesn't have an embarrassment of riches right now to choose from. And he's just trying, he's just throwing a whole bunch of stuff to the wall to see if anything sticks right now. So I'm not as down on him as some people are. And I don't want to be an apologist by any means. That's not what I'm saying. But I just feel like, you know.
But in this game, sometimes he does too much of the creative stuff instead of saying, this is, you know, we can run the ball on this team. We run straight ahead.
But every coach gets the deal where they're in the doghouse with a player and they don't use them. Yeah. I mean, we'd have won the 2003 season opener if Tuberville hadn't been down on Kenny Irons and rolled Trey Smith out there. What a joke.
It's true. All right, next question comes from Scott Schrader Photo, who says, play calling a personnel seem a bit peculiar. And he says, thoughts, but I was glad to see Javon off the milk carton, though.
Yeah, he did. They took him off the milk carton. That was pretty interesting. So I'm really hoping, I mean, if we can get that, if Sean can feel a little bit better, if Peyton Barber can feel a little bit better, and if Javon can get it going like that, then we've got a shot certainly against Texas A&M and maybe, and certainly against Georgia.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Emily Rios asked, Sean White played tough, even though he was injured and JJ threw off the rhythm, but we kept playing him. Is this the first game that was you could say was lost due to play calling?
There's a lot of play calling questions tonight.
Well, I mean, I think it was a weird game for that. I think it was a, you know, last week you could say, well, we dropped, you know, the receivers dropped the ball. But this was a game where, you know, the rotating the quarterbacks, the red zone stuff was just weird.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I don't know. I
don't have facts to back this up.
But yeah, I agree. It seemed odd, and I still trust Gus. Call me crazy.
Again, some of this stuff was play calling. Some of it was Gus called the right play, and the players didn't execute it. So I think there are some of both. But it was not – I mean, I think Rhett Lashley said in the press conference tonight or whatever, it was not the coach's best hour. It really wasn't.
No.
Christopher Stewart asked, any reason at all for hope this season? Can we win enough games to go to a bowl? This is an important question. You and I need to answer it.
We're 4-4. I think we can still beat Texas A&M and Georgia if the stars line up.
Well, we're 4-4.
We're going to beat Idaho.
We're going to beat Idaho. That's 5.
So if we win those two, we're 7-5.
Well, I mean, again, back up a step. We beat Idaho, that's 5.
Yes.
So we have to beat either Georgia or A&M to make it to a bowl game.
Yeah.
And we beat both of them, we go to a slightly better bowl game.
Sure.
Which one of those do you feel we have a better shot at?
Georgia, just because A&M, as horrifically as their train crash is crashing, they still scored 35 points on South Carolina. Not that that's a great accomplishment.
No, I mean, A&M, because it's on the road and because they have more talent, I think is the tougher game. Georgia is completely falling apart. Here's where those two teams are, okay? Georgia played their third-string quarterback. They benched Grayson Lambert, played this Brandon.
You lied to me.
I didn't lie to anybody. Did I? I told you Grayson Lambert was bad.
You did.
Didn't I say that before the season?
Yes.
And guess what?
Guess he what?
Blame yourself.
He was bad. And they played this Brandon Futua guy who's supposed to be a runner. He's supposed to be like a Nick Marshall kind of runner.
Okay.
And they had him throw the ball 35 times on Saturday against Florida's defense, which seemed like the dumbest decision in history.
That was weird. And it really panned out, didn't it, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, Georgia isn't as good as the last 2 years on defense.
Nope.
They had Nick Chubb. He's hurt. Without him, they don't have a quarterback, and their receivers are kind of below average. We can beat Georgia at home 100%. We can't. Now, look, we got to play better. I mean, I think we need to play, you know, slightly better than we did on Saturday, but they're not nearly as good as Ole Miss. Okay, I mean, I think Arkansas would beat Georgia pretty solidly right now. But so we just can't go in there and give it away. But you know they're going to bring their A game because it's us and stuff. But I think we could beat Georgia. A&M, you know, if you haven't been following the A&M thing, they went through this whole crisis where when they played Alabama, Kyler Murray came off the field and got into a cussing match with the offensive coaches.
That's what we want to see.
Well, and then – so then they basically told him, you know, sit over there and don't move. And last week they played Ole Miss and lost and scored 3 points. And Kyler Murray did not play, even though when they yanked Kyle Allen out of the game, they put in some other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this week they played South Carolina and they benched Kyle Allen and played Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So the recipe for the Auburn defense this week is that you're getting a true freshman quarterback. Now, he likes to run around, so I'm a little – I mean, he's fast as crud. So I think we're looking at like Louisville game 2.0 here.
Yeah.
Where it's a true freshman quarterback who's very fast, that likes to run around, is going to try and make some plays, chuck it and stuff. But a lot of times – if Carter Lawson runs up the field and misses him – you know, this guy's going to run that way and gain 20 yards. So I think there's going to be some of those kind of things. But at the same time, I think he's going to turn it over. I think he's going to, you know, fumble it or throw some interceptions. And they don't run the ball very well. And, you know, the other part is I think their defense is better, but it's still not good. I mean, they have two really good pass rushers. But, you know, I think Auburn can run the ball straight at them. I think, you know, with Barber and Robinson, I think we can run the ball straight at them and have success. And I think we could, you know, do a little play action off of that. Sean White can do it. I think we could beat A&M. If we get into third longs and stuff on offense, I think that, you know, those defensive ends may kill Sean White, and I worry about that. But, again, it's a true freshman quarterback. And South Carolina, you know, again, South Carolina after they fired Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
And
they put up like 28 on them, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was 35-28, and this was South Carolina with their third-string quarterback, basically. South Carolina played a true freshman quarterback in that game, and they scored 28. So,
yeah,
South Carolina, you know, they're terrible, okay? Yeah. I mean, they're 1-5 in the SEC, all right? So
this counts as our Texas A&M game preview, even though I don't know if we're finished with questions yet.
Well, no, I'm sorry. But the question was, can we get to a bowl game? So I just kind of...
Yes. That was our Texas A&M game preview. Do you have any more questions?
A couple more real quick. Ross Hatcher says, are we the best 4-4 team? Yes, I'm reaching.
No.
And he says, why do I keep feeling better about a team that keeps losing?
Well, we're playing an increasingly difficult schedule and playing better regardless of the outcome, win or loss.
I mean, there's no question,
our defense was better yesterday than it was at any time since Louisville, right?
I mean, I think people get caught up in like, oh my gosh, Ole Miss had 500 yards. Ole Miss is the best offensive team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever metric you want to pick, they're the best offensive team. Okay, right. They score the most points. They move the ball for the most yards. They get the most first downs. And we played well enough on defense to beat them.
Yes, we did. We played them better than Alabama did.
Well, that's right. Just on defense, we did. So, you know, the defense played well enough to win. And I think, again, the team, you can see the pieces are there. We just can't put them all together in the same week.
But I mean, we've only gotten beaten down one time all season, right? Mm-hmm. If we were just a little bit better, it would be like 2013, where we were getting better every week and we'd only lost to LSU.
Yeah.
We're that close, you know? It's really, like you said, it's just a fine line.
All right. Nate Smith asked for a bowl team. And I think we both think we're going to make a bowl game.
Yeah. I'll be very disappointed if we lose all of our remaining big games other than the Potato Bowl.
Yes. No, I mean, believe me, we owe Georgia. Yeah. And if we're going to beat Georgia, this is the year to beat them.
Yeah. At home, when they're in crap disarray.
Yes, 100%.
Is that it?
Nope. War Dang Eagle to you. Whoa, whoa.
I'm just filling in the gaps.
I love how Javon Robinson did, but I hope Gus doesn't forget that Peyton Manning doesn't forget Peyton like he has with Mario and Corey.
Yeah.
You know, where he kind of forgets somebody, uses somebody else. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Peyton Barber's going to start the next game.
We need everything we can get, every weapon we can get. So.
Well, and I think Peyton is good in the red zone, and I think they trust him. He's very dependable. So, I think we'll be lucky if they don't forget about Robinson and play Peyton. Give the ball to Peyton Barber 30 times Saturday. So
that's I'm more worried they'll forget Javon Robinson again. I'm worried that they played him grudgingly and he's going to go back in the doghouse.
I'm worried that they played him grudgingly only because they didn't have any other choices.
Exactly, exactly.
But right. I think that the reality is he made so many plays they had to. So
he did. I'm pulling the lever, John.
All right,
pull the lever.
Factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
All right, so real quick, I got a factoid and a bonus factoid. Won't take 5 seconds. The two teams that played in the SEC championship game 2 short years ago are 4-4 and 1-4 in the conference.
Mm.
Us and Missouri. Both of us are 4-4 and 1-4.
Missouri is excellent on defense. We would beat them.
Wow. Bonus factoid. Only one team in the entire SEC East has a winning record right now. The Florida Handbags.
With their backup quarterback.
That's the only team in the East with a winning record. More things change, John, more they stay the same.
I don't think the SEC as a whole is that good. But
no,
the East is awful.
It is awful. We talked about Texas A&M. I was working on a sound effect for around the SEC. I may be able to finish it up and inject it into the post-production. So if you hear it right now.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
So let's go around the SEC real quick. Last week, like we just talked about, A&M beat South Carolina in the Battle of Train Wrecks. One blazing engine triumphed over the other blazing engine in the chasm. Any thoughts about that one?
No, I mean, again, the Texas A&M has one great offensive player, and it's this freshman receiver, Christian Kirk, who returns kicks and is an absolute monster. That's the guy you got to be scared of when we're playing them.
And there he comes. We talked about Florida crushed Georgia. That's always fun. I told you that was my lock. I mean, you just can't go wrong picking Florida against Georgia.
Nope.
You could pay your mortgage off just picking Florida against Georgia a couple of years. Tennessee beat Kentucky, but I think the size of the beating kind of.
Well, and at one point, Kentucky was winning, and I was tweeting about how Kentucky was really good, and then Tennessee went on like a 20-point run. So
no, I'm dreading seeing Ray.
Well, but look, I mean, Kentucky is okay. They're the third best team in the East, really.
They're still in the running over there.
Well, I mean, Florida.
They have a losing record, and they're still in the running over there.
But, I mean, Florida's the best team in the East. Tennessee's the next best team in the East, and they're going to be, you know, what are they going to be, like 6-6 or something?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They're going to have somebody in the East play in Atlanta, and nobody wants to.
Yeah, it'll be Florida, but lose to whoever.
Florida going to Atlanta again just makes me want to vomit. Tennessee, okay. Vandy got shut out by Houston. Well, you said Houston was good.
Well, I mean, again, Houston's in the top 25. They're in that same conference with Memphis and Temple, and Houston could play.
Wow.
And, again, that coach is going to get – I don't know if he's going to make it 2 years in Houston. I think he's going to get hired, Tom Herman, so –
Arkansas beat UT Martin. I thought UT Martin was their quarterback on their national championship team at Tennessee. Okay, upcoming games. Right out of the chute, John. Right out of the chute.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
I'm going LSU and Alabama, and I'm going to lock up Alabama. I'm doing the reverse hex. because I'm always so woefully wrong, except when it's Florida, Georgia, that I'm going to lock up Bama and watch them lose. What do you think?
I think Alabama's going to win. Again, like LSU does one thing, and it's run the football. And Alabama is great at stopping the run. And I think if it was in Baton Rouge, I'd pick LSU.
Yeah.
But it's in Tuscaloosa, and I think Les Miles isn't going to be able to do any of his weird, funky stuff to pull it out. So I think Alabama's going to stop the run, and I don't trust LSU's quarterback to do enough to beat them. Now, look, I don't trust Alabama's quarterback either.
No.
But I think
not a lot of quarterbacks to trust in this conference this year.
This is the worst group of quarterbacks in the SEC in like 10 years.
Because remember, the stud of the entire conference was supposed to be Jeremy Johnson. So how'd that work out?
Dak Prescott and a bunch of nobodies. That's what.
Well, the Ole Miss's quarterback's all right.
He's okay, but again, he threw two picks against us.
He did. I mean, Arkansas, Ole Miss. That could be an interesting game.
Really good game. Should be really fun. I think it's going to be very competitive, and we'll see. I mean, I think Ole Miss, it'll be interesting to see how Arkansas does against
them. That's a good ESPN 6:30 game, but I'm assuming they're moving Alabama LSU to late night for CBS since they tend to do that. They love to show Alabama LSU at night.
So Arkansas Ole Miss is a 3:30 CBS game.
They got two
8:00 CBS game. CBS gets a doubleheader.
So who's the nighttime ESPN? Probably Mississippi State, Missouri, I'm guessing. Well, let's look at that one. Arkansas Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss should win, but Arkansas, they'll give them a game. Mississippi State at Missouri.
Are you ready for this? That's the Thursday night game.
Mississippi State at Missouri? Is it? Is it?
Yeah, at 9.
Ugh.
8 Central.
Ugh.
Must be doing a doubleheader or something.
All right. Well, I'll watch it. I'm going to be at a trivia tournament on Saturday night when we're playing, so I'm going to be recording everything and watch both Alabama and Auburn and watching them both when I get home late.
We're, the 7:30 on the SEC network. And South Carolina, Tennessee is at 4 in the SEC network.
Okay. Kentucky at Georgia. Kentucky, if you're ever going to do it.
It could happen.
But you know what? This is the kind of game Kentucky still finds a way to lose.
Probably.
Vanderbilt at Florida. No chance, no way, no how. Toast.
Vanderbilt's scrappy, but they just got killed at Houston. I don't think it's going to happen. And, I mean, they're good on defense, but they're nah.
Yeah. All right. Man, I've been coughing the entire month of October. It's November now, and I'm still coughing. We're going to wrap things up and get on out of here. What did we learn tonight, John?
Well, we learned there was a lot of concerns about play calling.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about play calling, and a lot of people are losing their mind on Twitter. We definitely learned that. We learned some Auburn fans need to take a breath and take a step back, reassess their priorities. Let me just give out a little life advice, all right? Offer up a little life advice.
Listen, we're two guys who are sitting here recording a college football podcast, so
Hey, if you don't like what we're doing,
blame yourself.
That's right. We're two guys sitting here recording a football podcast, and I have no idea what that means. So there you go. We've learned we're really not sure what we're accomplishing here. We've learned we'd be having a lot more fun if the season were going like we expected it to.
That's the truth.
We also know that Jordan-Hare Stadium was sold out for the season this year. Here's a little secret inside information. It's not going to be sold out next year. It's just not.
I don't know.
I don't have facts to back this up.
But I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say, no, probably not.
Are you ready for this one?
Oh, please.
We open with Clemson.
Yes, I know.
Potential playoff team, Clemson.
Yeah, we're continuing our losing streak against them. We also play Vanderbilt so that if we're really bad next year, we can continue our losing streaks against Clemson and Vanderbilt. All we need is to play Georgia Tech in a bowl this year and lose to them too. And honestly, the way they've been going, that could happen.
That's a real. They're not going to make a bowl game, I don't think.
They beat Florida State, didn't they?
I know, but they've lost five games already.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they could beat Georgia, though.
Yeah, they could. We could play them in the Birmingham Bowl. 6-6 Auburn against 6-6 Georgia Tech.
Oh, my gosh.
How would that fire you up? Woo! Baby.
I cannot imagine them against a run defense. Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey, check out Lorendo, man. That book is flying off the shelves by John's dad. It is a labor of love and an amazing biography and action-adventure story of Shug Jordan's great former offensive coordinator, Gene Lorendo, who did all kinds of cool stuff, including, you know, fight the Japanese in World War II and play in the National Basketball League, which was not the association league, and I mean, you know, played like 14 years of eligibility across half the SEC. I mean, he did some amazing stuff, and it's an awesome book. And so you'll be hearing more about it in the days to come. So check that out, Lorendo. And while you're at it, of course, on Amazon, look, you know, pick up Decades of Dominance, where we've got all the last 30-something years of Auburn history in there and greatest games and top 10 lists and best running backs in history of the football stadium. We haven't talked much about that book other than just go check it out in the last couple of years, so I want to make sure people know it exists. We probably have some new listeners. So, all right, I think we're going to bring this sucker in for a landing. Anything left to add?
No, other than we owe Texas A&M for that game last year.
Oh, my goodness, we owe them. Let's beat the Aggies. Let's go out to that 735,000-seat stadium and take it to them, because their mascot's a collie, and that doesn't make any more sense than our eagle does to be the Tigers. So there you go. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All right. Go to bed.
Bye.